Hi, everyone. Welcome to Two Bald Guys Talking Safety. I'm Langdon DeMint.
And I'm Julian Taylor.
And welcome to our podcast. I'm Langdon DeMint here with my dearest friend, Julio Jules Julian Taylor.
Thank you. Every nickname in there. Yeah. Well, all of the polite ones anyway. Yeah, I'm good.
Good. It's all the ones that I feel like, well, the second one I didn't, but the first one I take full credit for, the Julio.
Julio is definitely the Langdon nickname. Yep.
Yes.
Nobody else calls me Julio.
So. Well, that's fair. How are things in the UK?
Good. We have, it's a massive day tomorrow, isn't it? I forgot to say happy July the 3rd, mate.
Thank you. Happy pre 4th of July Independence Day.
Yeah. And there's something else tomorrow. In the UK, it's the general election tomorrow. So we
tomorrow?
So pretty similar to the US. We have a pretty tough choice to make between two people that we wouldn't want to vote for. So,
well, you know, times are great right now. I feel like, I always enjoy the 4th of July, since, especially I've begun over the last 4 years working with a UK company. It just is, it's even better, because it's like, happy independence.
You relish that fact, don't you? Yeah. This was the day that we broke away.
It's all we have. It's all I have. No. Yeah, it's funny. It's a good times, but it's also very relevant. This is our topic is also very relevant. So I guess a little before we jump in, I was at the beach last week down in Fort Morgan, Alabama. It's right close to the Panhandle, Jules, if you're unaware of Florida. So it's straight down on the Gulf. Lovely weather. Temperatures weren't crazy. But temperatures elsewhere were super, super hot. And this time of year, it's pretty swampy outside, especially where I live in Tennessee. You take a shower, you walk outside, you need to take another shower. This is what I live in. Hot and humid. So now, as we think about the 4th of July, and we think about dryness, we're not seeing much rain lately, we're going to do fireworks, people are working out in this heat, there's something pivotal we should probably think about. Do you know what that is?
No idea.
Heat stress and heat-relatedness.
There was a clue in the title of the podcast, wasn't there?
Lightly. And it honestly, so it this worked out pretty well. Also, maybe if you didn't know, a lot knew that OSHA is proposing a new heat stress standard, which, you know, that'll last, if it goes through, that'll take a couple of years anyway. So that was not because of what led us to this. This was one of those. The last 2 weeks have already gotten pretty balmy in the States. I guess it was 2 weeks ago, some of the East Coast, kind of the Northeast, was seeing some of the highest temperatures they'd seen in years. And it's very early. And we kind of had a little bit of a mild weekend, but it's getting really, really hot again. So it seemed like a timely thing to discuss and think about. How are temperatures where you are, Jules?
Well, I've got to say, Langdon, we had one good week, and then it seems to have reverted back to pretty much to normal for us. It's kind of, it's warm between showers would be my description. So, but it's interesting. I suppose question for you. We don't want to get into climate change today, because neither of us are experts on it. But I suppose one thing, living where you live, there's definitely been a change in terms of some of the more extreme weather, hasn't there, around things tornadoes and the heat.
So I'm originally from West Tennessee. That's the western part of the state. And when I was growing up, perfect timing. So if you look at the map on the western part, if you see the corner of the top right corner of Arkansas, the bottom right corner of Missouri, for those that are actually able to view right now, and the top left of Tennessee, there's the Boot Hill of Missouri. Just to the right of that is where I'm from. There was this whole section from Oklahoma all the way across Arkansas, which was called Tornado Alley. And really, growing up, the tip of West Tennessee became part of Tornado Alley. It certainly seemed like it. I think it actually was kind of categorized as such later on. In the last few years, either the tornadoes have decided to follow me, now I'm in the Nashville area, south, or it has expanded. So I will say, you know, climate change, whatever, are we seeing hotter temperatures and more extreme weather for sure? You know, is that climate change? Well, I guess if you want to be scientific, yeah, probably is. But is, you know, whatever, however you view it, we are seeing tougher temperatures, a lot of times tougher weather patterns. Now, I understand, you know, over hundreds of years that can go back and forth, but we have seen a lot of storms. You know, even right now in the, I saw a statistic yesterday about, so we have a Hurricane Beryl, which is approaching the Gulf, or it's in the Gulf of Mexico, I guess, kind of coming from the southern Atlantic.
Yep.
And it's one of the, it hit over, in 48 hours, it jumped almost 100 mile per hour wind. It's a Category 5, one of the strongest Cat 5s hurricanes in that time length in June when it started technically. So, you know, there's a lot of serious weather that is affecting a lot of people. And,
yep,
you know, this was supposed to be focused heat, but very much I think that's worth noting that you look at it from a weather pattern issue, and it's tough.
And I suppose it's one of the things when we're thinking about health and safety is that there are so many jobs that are based outside, aren't there? And I suppose you could talk about extreme heat as both inside and outside, but there are so many jobs that actually where people are outside all the time. And is that part of your risk assessment, your JHA, to actually think about weather generally as part of that risk management process?
Yeah, it is. I have a question for you, and I'm throwing a curveball. Yep. And
I'm ready.
I don't want this to be, I'm trying to think how to word this, to be honest with you. You are a little older than me, just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Would you say, and then you'll see where I'm going with it. So my dad grew up, my grandparents were farmers, West Tennessee. You know, my dad's been outside. I mean, I've kind of talked to him about it. But in the UK, if you think about childhood, if you think about 30 years ago, if you think about 10 years ago, now,
yep,
do you feel like you've seen a temperature fluctuation much? Average, quote unquote.
I don't think I have. I think I've seen a change in when you get the different weather across the different parts of the year. That would be, I suppose, my sort of observation of it.
Sure.
I was talking to somebody just yesterday about this and saying it almost feels like now what we're getting in July is what we used to get in April, which was sunshine, shower. We seem to get that in July. And actually the summer seems to be moving to later in the year. So I don't see it. I don't think I've seen a massive increase in temperature. You always get the odd spikes. You always get these sort of outliers, don't you, where you get the really hot weeks. I think it was 2 years ago when I'm not showing off here, went to Paris to see Coldplay. So I went to Paris for a concert. And it was 43 degrees in Paris. So that's C, not Fahrenheit. So that's seriously hot. And even right, it's a late at night. So I think you get these odd weeks. And even in the UK that week, I think it was high 30s. Even in London and places, it was high 30s. So I think it's hard to say you've seen a sort of trend, but you do get those sort of obvious spikes. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When I think, and that's why I was just curious if you've noticed an overall change. Because if I think back, growing up, I don't know that I've seen a huge change. But you see, it's just kind of like you said. I feel like it's a little hotter later, and maybe not as early, or things like that. So it's tough. And we know that we also have a lot of people working outside, and how do we become really better acclimatized to that? We have people working in hot environments, or really not even used to it. And I know we weren't going down this, and maybe we shouldn't, but health, like general health, and how does that affect, are you able to handle extreme? That I dare say we're probably not as healthy of a world as we once were. And that plays a big role into, are you able to handle the heat, or handle the changing, not even don't even have to be excessively hot, but the changing temperature environment. And that, to me, that's a big challenge. And I mentioned earlier, OSHA is proposing a new rule around it. And is it overarching? Is it OSHA trying to reach too much? I'm not going to get into that. I don't have a clue. But it is some basic,
Do you
I
know
feel like
what are
it's that basic health thing, right?
what
Yeah,
are,
we
what are
got, what do you
OSHA
think?
what are OSHA proposing? Do you know what OSHA are proposing to be in that legislation?
Yeah, so a little bit. I haven't done as much because I'm reading it. It's been talked about for a while, but some of the things I know, it's basically trying to protect indoor outdoor workers from heat related illnesses and fatalities. And it all stemmed because I want to say we had a couple hundred people die last year, and it is the number one weather related death. So they are having thresholds for temperature affected. It's I want to say there are two index thresholds. I want to say it's 90 and 80, I think. And that's Fahrenheit, which I don't know what that is. 27, 32, 33, 34 Celsius, something. Just picking numbers. But it's areas for like hydration breaks, being acclimatized. Do you actually take breaks? Better monitoring for heat-related symptoms. You have to train on it. So it's a lot of, I mean, it's a lot of things that hopefully people are already doing.
It feels like common sense, doesn't it? But I think it feels to me like sometimes there's a cultural shift that you need to make when you're thinking about this, because you look at some of the industries that we're talking about. So, for example, construction. How innate is it in their thinking to build in things like drinks breaks? Do they think to actually, as part of their sort of responsibilities, part of their risk assessments, actually think about what type of drinks they're going to provide to people? So are they providing drinks with electrolytes? Are they providing water? And again, part of it's trying to change the mentality of people as well, in terms of, quite often I go for a break, my natural instinct is go and drink a cup of coffee. And actually, things like coffee and tea aren't good when you're trying to rehydrate yourself. So there's a cultural shift to be had, isn't there? And even down to things like thinking about, sort of, if we're thinking about work patterns, what type of work are we doing? When's the sort of heaviest strain on people? Can we think about maybe shifting the timing of doing that work to a cooler part of the day? Do we always have to work the same traditional working hours, or could we actually work earlier? Even I think maybe go to the Spanish siesta model, which is work early, take a break, and then come back to work later on again. So actually, we work in the cooler parts of the day, which is what has happened in Europe for years.
Nobody would go back to work as the problem.
That might
take a 3 hour break.
be an issue. I just didn't wake up again.
Take a 3 hour break, pass out, go play golf, whatever. It'd be tough. But that is a good point. It's, I think for me, it is one of those, I don't know the, the enforcement of it is what I would fear. And it was something you said, and I know they can enforce it right now. And meaning you should be enforcing that employers are providing breaks and provide, you know, yeah. I'm totally for that. But I mean, there's some jobs, construction, if you're outdoors, doing framing or building from that perspective.
Yep.
Agricultural, you know, those are, you're never going to eliminate the hazard. I mean, you can't yep. if you're working outside. Yep. And a lot of those workers have become acclimatized. They've realized how to wear, you know, long sleeve shirts that are more breathing, that allow air to get to protect from sun. They're, you know, cooler things. They understand how to take breaks, sitting under trees, doing, you know, when they start feeling a little different. So a lot of the preventative preparedness, a lot of prepares have been put in place, and they've learned how to deal with that because you're never going to eliminate it. So I see a need. I just feel like it is a big part of, we have to train people and then actually as ourselves be coherent enough to understand, hey, I need to be cognizant of this. Yep. You know, I told you I love pickleball, Jules. Love it. It's it's not golf
You maybe need to explain to some people what pickleball is. It's not playing a game whilst you're eating pickles. What actually is pickleball?
So pickleball is a wonderful sport that, think of combination of a wiffle ball, so a ball with a hole on it, plastic ball, tennis, table tennis or ping pong, and volleyball-ish rules. So you kind of think of all these things, put it together, use a paddle. It is a wonderful, wonderful sport. Love it. But anyways, I was playing pickleball with my wife, and this was, it might have been last year. I don't remember if it was last year or the year before. I think it was last year early. And again, I was, you know, born, raised in Tennessee, went to school and undergraduate school in Arkansas. So I've lived in the South for my entire life, and I'm used to heat. It's, you know, you don't like it, but I'm used to it. I've played golf forever. I used to play all kinds of sports. We were playing, and it was an intense game. So Lindsay played tennis all growing up and through high school. So this, and I, you know, in my mind, I'm Roger Federer, my, you know, hero. In reality of tennis, I'm not even a ball boy. Terrible at tennis. So
I know she getting the excuses in early here before the end of the story.
Well, that's where pickleball is our convergence, because we both can play competitively. In that sport, I probably am Raj. But, and that's how we're very competitive with one another. We were playing, and it was summer. I think it was actually probably July, closer to August. And I had plenty of fluids, but I was feeling... She stopped a few times, and obviously, listeners, you know, this day I chose not to wear a hat, but I wore a bandana like Fed. Unfortunately, that doesn't do a lot when you're bald and the sun is beating down on your head. After about an hour or so, I started feeling a little lightheaded, and she stopped. Lynn was like, "You okay?" I said, "Yeah, fine." I was like, "But man, it is just hot." So I went over there, took a break, you know, dried off for a second, drank some more Gatorade, and went back to playing. And about 10 minutes later, I started experiencing, I was getting a little nauseous. And as soon as that hit, I was kind of, I might have progressed this. Yeah, I've pushed this a little too much and got a little lightheaded. And I was like, I've got to sit down. And I started having a little early stages of some heat related illness. Was it heat stress? I don't know what it was, but it was a light, you know, that was the first time in my life. And I dare say I'm healthier now than I've ever been. And, but, you know, working out, but it just goes to show that it can really sneak up on you, even when you're for the most part acclimatized, you've lived it. And it's scary because if you don't realize how to be aware, I mean, I wasn't scared. I knew what was happening. But if you don't and you keep pushing and think, oh, I'm fine, you know, that old tough mindset, because I was playing a game. I wasn't working, right?
Yeah.
So that can create a, you know, I can see how it can create a serious health-related issue.
I think pickleball is just dangerous, full stop. I know two people who've snapped their Achilles tendons playing pickleball, so that's my health warning. Don't play pickleball. So
we'll get you in. You need to come to Tennessee. Yeah. We're going to play some pickleball.
There you go. We'll do that. Next time I'm in Tennessee, we'll definitely play pickleball. I think you bring up a really good point, though, Langdon, which is when you think about the training that we do with people, one of the things is to make them aware of the early signs, isn't it? So if they are starting to be adversely affected, they know the signs to actually do something about it, to stop and to maybe slow down, go and rehydrate. So those signs, what were the first signs you had? Just nausea? Because I've got a few down here. Yeah.
Well, for me, it really jumped. I would say, I mean, you were hot. Was I thirsty? Yeah, but I'm the type, honestly, I'm thirsty. I drink all the time anyway. So I noticed that, but it was very much, you know, I didn't go through like heat rash or anything like that. It was, you know, I knew I was hot. I mean, you and I talk, we play golf all the time. So I wasn't having cramps. I was getting a little tired, but I got a little lightheaded and took a drink and kind of thought, well, maybe it's because, what's it called? You know, when you kind of bend down and come up and you're like, I kind of assumed it was that just lasted a little bit, but it was mainly that when the nausea hit on top of that, and I just felt sluggish. I knew, I've been showed up by my wife, evidently.
So it's those signs, isn't it? Things like cramps, if you're getting really flushed, feelings of fatigue, dizziness, and they talk about over sweating. But again, starting to recognize that, and those are the sort of the early signs. And then if it's getting really serious, things like confusion, people can't talk properly, having a really rapid pulse is a sign that it's actually going really wrong. So it's important, actually, people do understand that and do sort of recognize those early signs so they can do something about it. The other thing I was going to talk about, because I think it's a really, really important subject to touch on, is when we're talking about heat and we're talking about people working outdoors. Let me ask you a question, Langdon. I'll throw you the curveball now. Is there the same propensity in the United States for people in construction to feel the need to show off their torso when they're at work in the sunshine?
Yes. Yeah. For the most part, yes. I mean, I'm very much generalizing here, but I would dare say yes.
And I
some
think,
torsos
again,
shouldn't be seen.
Yeah, I think some torsos should absolutely never be revealed in public. Probably mine is one of them, but I think it's a really important point, because again, there's this cultural thing, isn't it? It's almost a macho thing sometimes of, I'll just wear my high-vis waistcoat or something like that. And it's actually those dangers of UV radiation and leading to things like to skin cancer, isn't it? That is probably a real long-term health worry that people should have if they're working outside on a regular basis.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's also, that's a great point. So, you know, you work outdoors regularly. If you have no hair, it's really easy to get skin cancer.
Even if you have hair, it's the same.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Not just as baldy.
Well, it comes straight through for us. But I think that's a great point. And it's, you know, I was reading a stat that I didn't realize it was that high of a percentage, but I don't know how they deduced this, but OSHA said that they had found between like 50 and 70% of the heat related illnesses or the fatalities, outdoor fatalities, were from workers that had just started on the job. So, and you'll see where I'm going with that. What I think, so that means they weren't acclimatized, one. That means they really weren't, I'm not going to say they weren't trained, maybe they were, but did they truly properly understand the training? And how wide it could be, because I dare say, to what you just were talking about and alluding to, from the skin cancer to even getting burns, just that.
Yeah.
Maybe you won't get skin cancer, but maybe you get really bad burns where, you know, you feel like your skin's about to rip off. That's, you know, that's all very, very real difficult things that if you're not trained, if you're not cognizant of it, that's an issue. And that's really tough, because if you have that, then you're supposed to go back tomorrow and work or later. And, you know, it's, these aren't always things that are just quick recovers. Sometimes it takes a couple of days, especially if it's bad, you know, heat related illness.
I was going to change this topic completely now, which is, well, not change the topic, but talking about heat again, and I was kind of interesting because I was in a conversation with a couple of guys just recently, and they work on waste disposal sites, and actually one of the big issues they're finding with sort of heat is actually fires, and again it's those. It sounds really, you don't stop and think about these things sometimes, but even the fact that you've got things like glass in waste disposal sites that can sort of act as a magnifier, and it's so easy to for things like fires to start. So that was one area. And then the other area was sort of people working with any kind of chemical or toxic substances. Because the other effect that you get when the temperatures are rising is actually the body just becomes more efficient at actually absorbing toxins and less efficient at excreting them as well. So people who are working with any kind of pesticides, chemicals, and they're working outside, that's another thing that you've got to consider when you're thinking about the risk assessment, is actually, how do we protect people from that absorption of toxins through the skin?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And that was one element that, you know, you were asking earlier what OSHA is proposing, and it is more thorough risk assessments in general. And I think, you know, you and I've talked about risk assessments, JHAs, JSAs, further hazard analysis. It's really easy to, and not to shift the conversation, but it's really easy to not make it a checklist activity, but make it a checklist activity and not think about a lot of those issues that, you know, hey, has everyone been trained? Yes, they have. Yeah. Well, but does everyone actually understand, you know, what that means? Do they understand or that they're ready for the job? Do they understand that they have some type of fluid nearby, sports drinks, water to stay hydrated? Do they understand where the break is? Do they understand actually how to realize those symptoms that, kind of like I was talking about with pickleball, you know, felt a little lightheaded, but we were running around and playing for over an hour. So it wasn't, and it was just one versus one. So it wasn't like a, you know, we were playing and it, do you understand that? Do you understand then when you start feeling maybe a little more symptom that, well, my heart rate's already up because I'm playing a sport and I'm running around. I'm already sweating, but is it progressing a little more than usual? Yep. You know, and I think things like that, if we don't watch out, it is easy. Honestly, it's easy to overlook. It's easy to think about, especially when you're being told, hey, you've got to do this job. We need to get as much done. You know, the ones I think about are maybe some of the, I'll say, not as large type construction workers. And meaning if you have a really large scale organization, OSHA or your own EHS management internal, you're probably going to get checked, right? I mean, that's just because it's a larger corporation. Not saying it can't happen for sure, but I think about those smaller, medium business where maybe it's not as prevalent, you know, the EHS, you know, there's a lot of people and in the ag as well that you might not be cognizant of that. So you have to really be aware. And we're talking outdoors, but same way with insides. I've been in warehouses that felt hotter than outside because you're in a building and the temperature changed outside. The fans were broken. Well, this building is 100 years old. That fan fell out last year. We'll get a new one. And you just walk in and you're,
Well, the you know, thing so that it's... immediately comes to mind for me is because I come from a steel town, and if you've ever been into a foundry, even in the middle of winter, it's the heat is absolutely overwhelming. And I mean, the early days of my career, that people would never even think about sort of things like rest breaks and drinks and. But that's something that's definitely changed because you think about just the inherent dangers that people are surrounded by. It doesn't take much in terms of affecting somebody's cognitive abilities, and you've got a really, really serious incident on your hand. So I think there's some common sense stuff, isn't there, that you can do. So help give people time to acclimatize before they're sort of hitting the full workload. Change the duration of the work so maybe you have more frequent breaks. Think about where they're going to go and have those breaks, and could you even make sure that it's air conditioned, for example? So if it's a construction site, can you have a port cabin with an air conditioner in it, which is where people can take their breaks so they can actually just physically cool down? And then and then drinks, and not just water, but like we say, with electrolytes that are going to replace sort of vital salts and things in your body. And like I said earlier, that being able to recognize the signs. So when I'm playing pickleball with you, Langdon, in Tennessee, I can look at you and I can see the signs. I can see your bright red face and I can see you sweating profusely. And I can go, I think we need to take a break here, buddy. Yeah.
It's real.
I was going to say the other big thing that's happening in the UK, I was just thinking about this as you were talking about your pickleball, was it's Wimbledon sort of this week and next week. And you stop and think about a game of tennis. What do they do every, how many games is it? But every few games, what do? They stop.
Take a break.
And they go and drink Robinson's barley water. Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I thought it was just Gatorade.
Oh, yeah. It's not Gatorade. It's definitely not Gatorade in Wimbledon, I do have to say.
Yeah. Maybe it's a proper Gatorade that's been.
What do you think?
Changed of the emblem. They wouldn't use a lightning bolt for theirs. But no. I do think that's a good point because, if you think that you can be macho and handle it, that's when problems start.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes you can. I'm not saying you can't, but there's a lot. If you're not prepared, if you're not ready, then you think, Jules fell out. Give him some water. He's fine. Put him under a tree. Sometimes it's progressive and, it's not. Or you're in an environment where maybe it's not even extreme. Maybe it's just been a large temperature shift and you're like, really it's not that hot. It's only whatever, 80 degrees. Yeah. Well, if 2 days ago it was 40 and it's jumped to 80 and it feels a little hotter and it's somebody maybe that's not used to it, it can affect. So we talk about it where this is one of those things I feel like just trying to bring, because really and truly we've kind of hit on it a few times. You might get sick occasionally, but should you have any fatalities because of heat related illnesses?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you were referring to the 2022 stats. It was 180 people died due to sort of heat in the United States. So, I haven't got the numbers for the UK to hand, but I mean, that's stark in itself. 180 people didn't go home. And I think, again, I think one of the most important things, Langdon, is how do you change that culture? So, and it comes back to something that we've talked about lots before, which is you've got to educate people, haven't you? You've got to go back to the why. Why is it important for them? Not for the business, but why is it important for them to think about the way that they look after themselves in the workplace, whether it's any kind of physical accident or whether it's related to things like heat. So what's the long-term effect for you if you get skin cancer, for example? And it's that same education piece that we keep having to do. But I think the cultural shift is one of the big ones here, so that so that people start to recognize actually the value of doing this for themselves. And often it's simple things, isn't it? And it kind of, the other thing I was just sort of reflecting on was how we can, I don't know, I used to work for an organization that supplied lots of PPE. How can we make the PPE actually just more wearable, more comfortable, and crazy as it sounds, more stylish, so people are going to be more inclined to actually wear it as opposed to not wearing it and just wearing maybe a high-vis jacket instead on a hot day. So all these kind of considerations that you've got to take into account.
Well, and then you know, you were talking about being raised in a steel town. We had a growing up, a steel company very close. You know, I knew a lot of people that worked there, and I've done a little bit of work in there before, doing some air sampling and testing. And if you've never been, and that's just one example, but it's hot. The way you form steel, in case you don't know, the way you form steel, it takes a certain level of heat to be able to do anything with it. So it's, you know, it's hot. You talk about hot outside. And then even if it's not, you talk about what it's like in there. And to what you're saying, the PPE, if the PPE, is not providing some type of adequate, quote unquote, relief and protection, it might not get worn. And that's an issue. That's when you start seeing, because it's one of those things, I feel like this and a lot of what we talk about, we try to, correct me where I'm wrong, please, Jules, but I feel like a lot of the things when we, you know, our podcast, what we like to tailor it to, some of it, we want it to be straightforward. We want it to be simple because sometimes the simple are the things that are being overlooked. You know, we could talk culture all the time. We could talk high level, you know, pick it, whatever you want. But sometimes it's the simplicity elements that are failing. And then how can we overcome those? And a lot of times it is, you know, it's a cultural issue for this as well. If we're cognizant, if we consider it, if we are aware, we can be better prepared and we can prevent this. Yeah. We can prevent other things. To me, that's the majority of what we're trying to talk about in our podcast, honestly, all of them.
Yeah. I mean, you know me, one of my favorite acronyms is KISS. I talk about it all the time, and if the more we can simplify stuff, the better it becomes. And I think the other thing you just made me think about there was, I'm sure I've told the story before about being in a packaging plant actually in New Zealand, and it was quite steamy and hot in there. And I can remember walking around with Rachel, who was the safety manager, and that was the other thing I was going to say. It's important you're out there looking and observing and seeing what's happening with the people who work for you. And we came around this corner and there was a guy and he got his safety glasses and he got them propped up on his head. And she was great because she just said, "Do you mind me asking why are you not wearing your safety glasses properly?" And he said, because they steam up. He said, I actually can't see what I'm doing. So you've got PPE, and that's the point I was going to make. You've got to think about the PPE you're giving to people, because it can actually be detrimental in its effect if it's not the right sort of equipment. But it was a great conversation because she just said, right, great, let's go and find you some glasses that aren't going to steam up so you can do your job properly. So even something like that in a hot, steamy environment inside, this was kind of a packaging paper mill. If you're giving people sort of face masks, if you're giving them sort of eye protection, it can do as much harm as good, really, sometimes. So it's thinking about that, but you've got to be present to actually recognize and to see those things.
No, that's exactly. And it's just being, you know, being prepared to me. I mean, that's, you know, and have that, we call it common sense, but maybe it's, and I don't mean that rude, maybe it's not fully that, but just awareness. It's, you know, tomorrow, I think about a lot of us in the States will be off tomorrow for the 4th, as we were talking about. It's, so here in Nashville, well, I say Nashville, I live in Spring Hill. Here in this area, Middle Tennessee, our humidity is supposed to jump up. The heat index for I think today and tomorrow is going to almost be 115. So I don't know if you really have that, but what that means, like the actual temperature is 95, but when you add the humidity and just the beaming, that the heat index is what it actually feels like.
Yeah.
I mean, and when it gets like that, it's hot. It's really hot.
Seriously hot. Yeah.
It's bad. So, you know, and even if you think at work, if we have the mindset of, you know what, I'm taking a break, I'm at work, they should protect me.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
But when you're having fun, when you're playing with fireworks, be smart. You know, it goes to that as well. This is something that's very much, I mean, I told the story of myself at pickleball. I was in the zone. It was work. I wasn't going to lose, but what happened? You know, so it's one of those, we need to maintain that cognizance wherever, because it can happen. It can happen on the golf course. It can happen at fun. It can happen just playing outside with your kids if you don't watch out, or for your children, for goodness sakes. That's a whole nother, you know, didn't talk about that. But there's some easy steps to keep in mind whenever we're in hotter than usual environments that we can prevent.
Yeah. And whether you're bald or not, wear a hat.
Mm.
Yeah. Truly. I am getting a lot better at wearing a hat these days. Right. So
I love hats. But it is one of those. I like getting a little sun. So I take it off for a little while and then dry off, put it back on. Yeah. I will say, whenever you do, always put sunscreen on. Helpful.
Well, that's the thing. We've not even talked about that, have we? Which is, again, that's one of your natural precautions is sunscreen and regularly reapplying it. So
true.
Anyway, I think we're kind of coming up on time, buddy. Do you want to wrap up by giving us a quick sort of understanding of what typically happens on the 4th of July, what do families do on the 4th of July?
I would say most fireworks. Fireworks seems to be a big thing. I'm the type, if I've seen one firework, if you want to know the truth about it, I've seen them all. But that's not the most popular opinion. People love fireworks. But usually, you know, cook, hang out with your family, friends, do a little smoking of meats or whatever, and watching fireworks at night.
Sounds good. Yeah. Okay.
So how about you? Do you have any plans for your election day holiday?
We are still at work, but I need to wander down to the polling station and decide which box I'm going to put the cross into. Yeah. which is more than the England football. I was going to say that's my quick gag, which is more than the England football team have been capable of doing for the last 2 weeks.
So. Oh, that's good. Well, I hope you can the fourth with me.
I will.
Let's celebrate independence together.
We will do. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, everyone, we hope that you have found some tidbit of helpful use for yourselves and for others when you're out working in hotter than usual environments. Because remember, it's important to be able to go home healthy and safe to your families. So as you're going about your 4th of July, as you're going about your typical work day, as you notice, oh, it's so hot today, remember to watch out, stay healthy and safe, and ultimately watch each other's back out there. Thanks, everyone. Hey everyone, really appreciate you tuning into this episode of Two Bald Guys Talking Safety. Please follow and subscribe to wherever you stream your favorite podcast, or visit us at evotix.com.
And if you want to see how follically challenged we really are, come and check us out on YouTube. If you've got value from the podcast, please go to Apple Podcasts. And in the review section of this podcast, if you could leave us a review or a rating, that would be great.
And as always, everyone, while you're going about your days, about your normal lives, stay safe out there and watch each other's back.